When men want to repeat or add to the atoning work of our Lord Jesus, they are saying that Jesus' work was not complete. It's not sufficient. And they deny that His offering was infinite. This is the core doctrine of the cross work of Jesus. He was God and man in one person. His bodily death, His blood sacrifice was of infinite value. Because it's the blood of the God-man, not just a passing sacrifice soon to be lost.
Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher. We really appreciate you joining with us on the program. We trust that you will be encouraged today through the ministry of God's Word. We have a testimony of converted Jesuit priest, Bob Bush. And he will tell how, by comparing Scripture with the dogmas of Rome, he discovered the light of the gospel. And eventually he left the church and became a preacher of the gospel. I trust that today you'll stay tuned right through the message and as we get to that testimony by Bob Bush. And today we're dealing with the subject on wherein they miss the cross. It is possible to handle an object of the cross, to have an image of the cross, to have even certain truths about the crucifixion of Jesus, and yet to miss the cross. And I pray that today the Lord will lead you to simple, childlike faith in the finished work of the cross of Calvary. Nothing deleted, nothing excluded, but the full, wonderful power of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ through His cross. For therein is the power of God unto salvation. Now, stay tuned as we come to the message today.
And every priest, that in this case now, this is every Jewish priest, every Levitical priest, standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God. He's finished the work. And in verse 14, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. No more priestly ministry, no more bloodshedding, no more sacrifices, no more priest. The work is in our Lord Jesus Himself. And so for any man or for any institution to come along and to claim the office or the ministry of priestly ministrations is to miss the work of Calvary and the power in the death of our Lord Jesus. And it's undermining completely the whole Bible, New Testament teaching on the finished work of the cross. And so that's the parting of the ways. That's where there is a vast, vast gulf of difference between evangelical Protestantism and the system in the Church of Rome. And so if you are to witness to someone who needs to know, why are you a Protestant? What's wrong with me being a Catholic? What is wrong with our church? You don't worship with us. Here is the very first step that you must show. That we, as Bible believers, New Testament worshipers, have one priest. He's the Lord Jesus. And He's perfect. And He offered up one sacrifice forever. We do not look to any other. Then secondly, they miss the cross by insisting, please keep your finger at Hebrews 10, by insisting on the continual repetition of the sacrifice of the Mass. Priestly work leads to a sacrifice. The two go together. If you have a priest, you must have a sacrifice. If you have a sacrifice, you must have a priest. The two go together. And he offers to the people what is called in the Mass, this is the host, the wafer, what we call communion. And they take the bread and say, this is the body of Christ. And to them it becomes the literal body, And the blood becomes the literal blood. And as people receive that, they are told that they are receiving the Lamb of God in bodily form. And that it is a sacrifice. This is the central error of Rome. They insist upon the Mass. And as you have learned this week in Toronto, there is hardly an event that does not have at its very center the Mass. And today was the culmination of what they hope to be the largest Mass of all on World Youth Day. Thousands and thousands there to receive Mass. And they are receiving a sacrifice. And it is the offering of the actual body and blood of Jesus unto God. Now, what's wrong with that? Why do we have a problem with that? Because our Lord Jesus on the cross cried out, "It is finished. It is finished." One sacrifice forever. His one bodily death, the one shedding of his blood, and the work is complete. And anything that attempts to replace it or repeat it is a denial of the sufficiency and the worth of the one act of our Lord Jesus on the cross. If someone said to you, "I don't like the way you built your house, I would like to build another little bit onto it," you would say, "Well, I'm sorry that you're not satisfied with the work. You want to build another part to it." When men want to repeat or add to the atoning work of our Lord Jesus, they are saying that Jesus' work was not complete. It's not sufficient. And they deny that his offering was infinite. This is the core doctrine of the cross work of Jesus. He was God and man in one person. His bodily death, his blood sacrifice was of infinite value. Because it's the blood of the God-man, not just a passing sacrifice soon to be lost. And here in Hebrews 10, verse 12, I want to really impress these words upon you. "But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down." And then again in verse 14, "forever." And the Mass, the repeat of Calvary, the addition to Calvary. What does it do to Calvary? It makes it to be of none effect. It undermines it. It takes away from it. And instead of preaching Calvary to the people, the priest holds up a wafer and offers them a new sacrifice, another sacrifice, which takes their eyes away from the one Lamb of God and the one act of sacrifice that he offered. And so I say herein, they miss the redeeming power of the cross. Thirdly, they miss the cross by insisting on having other mediators for redemption. On Tuesday, when the Pope arrived in Toronto, he came and his first message concluded with a reference to Mary as the mother of the church. This Pope has done more than any other to exalt Mary as a mediator. And Rome believes that there are many mediators. Mary, the saints, and then of course priests become mediators between God and men because only they, under the system of the church, have the authority to forgive mortal sins. Now, there's a little bit of confusion about the venial sins, the everyday sins that people commit. But those mortal sins, which are the deliberate, willful breaking of the Ten Commandments and others, and this, of course, again, is a bit of a cloudy issue. How do you divide what is mortal and what is venial? But they say that mortal sin can only be forgiven, you can only have absolution by the confessional, by the priest. And so this goes on. Toronto today, they were erecting 1,000 confessionals in the open air. Just like a little drape around in the open air, and the priest sits here and the confessor sits here and he listens to the string of sins that are confessed. Now think on the use of the confessionals. What is it? A confession by the confessor to the priest is required after baptism. Only baptized Catholics may enjoy this. After baptism, when you fall into sin, you lose the grace that you received at baptism. And therefore you must come back to the priest, back to the church, confess, receive a penance, which is not just how to put it right with man, but it is satisfaction to make it right with God. And so the confessor, when he comes to the priest and he says, I've done a terrible thing, I have sinned in this way, he is not given the gospel message that there is full free salvation through the death of the Lord Jesus. He is told, well, you need to put it right with your brother, but you also need to make satisfaction by penance, a form of works or payment, which makes it right. Now, that form of works could be a set of prayers, it could be Our Fathers, it could be repeating the Rosary, it could be community service, it could be a number of things that are required, or it could be some manner of payment to the church. Now, there's two problems with this. Number one, when are my works enough? That's the first thing. When are my works enough? Well, that depends on the priest. He makes a judgment call and says, well, this is what you do. 5 Our Fathers, 4 Hail Marys, 2 hours of community service, work in the church, do this, and you finish it. And that is supposed to make satisfaction or payment for your wrongdoing. But when is it enough? What if you go home at night, you know, I didn't do that with a right heart. I know I did with the priest, but I had a bit of a grudge going on with that fellow. And I wasn't really happy with what he gave me. I thought he was over harsh. I shouldn't have had to pay money. I shouldn't have had to do that community service. I shouldn't have had to pray all those prayers. That was too much. I did it, but I didn't do it with the right attitude. So when are your works ever enough? And if you're here tonight and you rejoice in the gospel of free justification by faith alone, you rejoice that it's your faith plus nothing. It is Christ's work plus nothing. And His work is always perfect. And that's why the Church of Rome misses the cross. And along with that, there is no repentance. Penance, but no repentance. And that's the tragedy. And you have a religion that can speak against sin and yet have its people continually practicing sin. And that's the reason why in the history of the world, wherever Rome has prevailed, society has dropped to the lowest moral standards. And you can check that out in any country in the world where Roman Catholicism has the dominant role. That's the tragedy. Instead of becoming overcomers of sin, they encourage their people to live in it with no repentance. Number 4, they miss the cross by insisting that souls are not saved by justification alone. Now, this was the insistence of the Council of Trent in 1545. And Rome has never changed this doctrine. I have with me here tonight a book. It's the 1994 Catechism of the Roman Catholic Church. It's the first time in 400 years since the Council of Trent that they have reproduced in one compendium volume the doctrines of the Church. And the Council of Trent on this issue is quoted again and again and again and again. Rome will never agree that a sinner is justified by faith alone. When Catholics and the ecumenical evangelicals got together, this was the big debate. J.I. Packer, Bill Bright, a number of others that were involved in this dialogue. And the insistence of the Church of Rome was, we are saved by faith, period. The gospel says we are saved by faith plus nothing. But Rome will never allow that and will always dispute that. And of course, this point is the very essence of the gospel. Look at Galatians 2, verse 16. That's why I wanted to read these verses tonight, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. And then verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. But you say to me, but I don't see the word alone there. I don't see the insistence that it has to be faith plus nothing. Well, go to Galatians 5, verse 4. And verse 3. Let's read verse 3. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. In other words, they go back on one point. One point. And if you go back to the law, if you go back to being justified by man's works, man's fleshly works, you're not just erring in one detail, you are spoiling the whole of grace. That's what verse 4 says. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. Surely we ought to rejoice in this truth. We ought to be liberated by this truth, that I am justified, I am set free from my sin, I am cleared of all guilt on the basis of what Jesus did, and not one penny's worth of what I did or will do. That ought to free us. That ought to delight us. But for some strange reason, some carnal reason, some traditional reason, the Church of Rome will not bow on this point. They will not surrender on this point. They will always insist we are saved by faith, by grace, plus the church, the sacraments, works. And they insist that justification must be accompanied with works. And to this day, Rome will fight this, what is to us a liberating truth. And we fear because it allows their church to exist as the source of salvation, and it bypasses the cross. And so you've got the power lines, you've got the hydropoles, you've got the substations, you've got the semiconductors, you've got the transformers and the lines into the homes, and you've got all the externals of religion, but you have not got a hydro station to produce the power at the other end. You have religion that bypasses grace.
We're coming now to another part of the testimony by Bob Bush, the converted Jesuit priest, and how he came to the light of the gospel through comparing the scriptures with the dogmas of the Church of Rome. I trust that you'll be challenged today and led to the truth today as you hear the testimony of Bob Bush, the converted Jesuit priest. You're listening to Let the Bible Speak, and we're turning now to the salvation testimony by Bob Bush, a converted Jesuit priest. He says, anyone who has attended Mass in the Roman Catholic Church will remember the prayer said by the priest, pray, brethren, that our sacrifice may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. This is a very serious prayer. The people respond saying the same thing, asking that the sacrifice may be acceptable to God. But this is contrary to the Word of God, because the sacrifice has already been accepted. When Jesus was on the cross, he said, it is finished. And we know that it was completed, because Jesus was accepted by the Father and rose from the dead, and is now at the right hand of the Father. The good news that we preach is that Jesus has risen from the dead, that his sacrifice is completed, and that he has paid for sin. When, by God's grace, we accept his work as the finished sacrifice for our sins, we are saved and have everlasting life. A memorial is a remembrance of something that someone has done for us. Jesus said, this do in remembrance of me. So anyone who is reading this, or any priest who is saying Mass, must seriously consider the error of the prayer. Let us pray, my brothers and sisters, that our sacrifice may be acceptable. The sacrifice has been accepted. we are to have communion service in memory of what Jesus has done. The sacrifice that Jesus offered on the cross cannot be added to or reenacted. The Roman Catholic Church says that the Mass is a propitiatory sacrifice, effective to take away the sins of those on earth and those who have died. That is why, to this very day, even though some people will say that the Church in some places does not believe in purgatory, still virtually every Mass that is said is for someone who has died. It is believed that the Mass will shorten their time in purgatory. That is why it is said for dead people, when a person dies, judgment immediately follows. It is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. If they are saved, they go directly to heaven. If they remain in their sins, they go to hell. There is nothing to change one from hell to heaven. The Roman Catholic Church believes that the Mass, being a propitiatory sacrifice, will decrease the time in purgatory. But all the suffering and all the atonement that was ever made for sins was accomplished by Jesus on the cross. And we need to accept this truth. We need to receive everlasting life and to be born again while we are still alive. There is no biblical evidence to support the idea that after death we can experience any kind of change. We then began to study what the Roman Catholic Church teaches on salvation. It is a doctrine of the Roman Catholic Church that we can be saved by being baptized as infants. Present-day canon law says baptism is the gate to the sacraments, necessary for salvation, in fact, or at least in intention, by which men and women are freed from their sins, reborn as children of God, configured to Christ. Quote, Canon 849. This teaches that when a baby is baptized, it is saved and has everlasting life by virtue of baptism. But that is not true. Jesus never said anything like that. Neither is there a word in the Bible about anything like that happening. There is no limbo. Jesus said, "Suffer the little children to come unto me." The Bible always says we are saved when we accept that Christ Jesus totally paid the price of our sin so that his right standing with God becomes ours. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The Roman Catholic Church then goes on to say that in order to be saved, you must keep its laws, rules, and regulations. And if these laws are violated, for example, laws concerning birth control, or fasting, or attendance at Mass every Sunday, then you have committed a sin. The Roman Catholic Church says in canon law of the present day that if you commit a serious sin, that sin must be forgiven by confessing to a priest. Individual and integral confession and absolution constitute the only ordinary way by which the faithful person who is aware of serious sin can be reconciled with God and with the Church. The Roman Catholic Church says that this is the way sins are forgiven, the ordinary way that sins are forgiven. The Bible says that if we repent in our heart and believe on Christ's finished sacrifice, we are saved. We are saved by grace, not by our works. The Roman Catholic Church adds works in that you have to do these specific things in order to be saved. Whereas the Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, that it is by grace that we are saved and not by works. The Bible makes it very clear that we are saved by grace. It is a free gift given by God, not because of any works we do. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then is it no more grace? otherwise work is no more work. We examined these and many other doctrines while we were in India, and as I left, I knew that I could not represent the Roman Catholic Church any longer. I began to see that Roman Catholic dogmas, which contradict Scripture, are so rooted that they cannot be changed. The Roman Catholic Church will always insist that the Mass is an ongoing continuation of the sacrifice of Jesus. The Church will not let go of the dogma that babies are reborn and receive eternal life at baptism, nor of all the various requirements that are put upon her people. Now, I do sincerely love Roman Catholics and want to help them. I want to help them find the freedom of salvation and the life and blessing that comes from following the Scriptures. And I have nothing against any Roman Catholic or any priest. It is the dogmas and doctrines that keep them bound. God Himself wants to lose them. Jesus said, "Laying aside the commandments of God, ye hold the tradition of men." That is the problem we are facing right here. These traditions destroy the very Word of God because they contradict its truths. When I left India and came home, I knew that I was facing the biggest change of my life. It was a time of great distress for me because I had totally believed in the Roman Catholic Church and served it for so much of my life. I knew when I came back that I was going to have to leave the Church of Rome. In 1987, I left the Roman Catholic Church formally by writing a letter of resignation and then corresponding with my former superiors. I ended up writing to Rome before I left. I did it in that manner because I wanted to witness to all of them and give them reasons why I was leaving. I wanted to follow the Bible. Well, there is the testimony of Bob Bush, the converted Jesuit priest. And I'm reading from the book Far From Rome, Near to God. These are testimonies of 50 converted Roman Catholic priests, edited by Richard Bennett and Martin Buckingham. And this book is available from Banner of Truth Trust. And if you have any questions about these testimonies, or if you want to know the way of God's salvation as God's gift through grace, give me a call, 604-576-1091, or send me an email. Stand by now.
You're listening to Let the Bible Speak.
This is Ian Gallagher. Thank you for joining with us on the program today. I want to just let you know about special meetings here in our church over these next weeks when I will be preaching on the 5 points of Calvinism. This is known as TULIP. T stands for total depravity, U for unconditional election, L for limited atonement, I for irresistible grace, and P for perseverance of the saints. This is historic doctrine that has made the difference in the Church of the Lord Jesus, and it is a great defense of the gospel to understand how lost sinners are marvelously saved by God's amazing grace. And so we invite you to the morning services here at our church, 10:30 Sunday mornings through this month of November into December, for this series of services on the TULIP theology. And we invite you along. And of course, all the details concerning our church location, church times, 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for morning service, 6 p.m. for evening service. You would be welcome to join with us. We invite you to come. You can also join us by webcast on your computer. Go to www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you will be able to find all the details concerning our church. If you're in the Victoria area, we have a church there as well. They meet at 11 and 6 at 733 Van Alman Avenue. Give us a call. Look up the website. This is Ian Gallagher, 604-576-1091. Join us again on Let the Bible Speak, Monday to Friday, 5 and 5.